All right, let's call this meeting, the Tannehill County Planning Commission regular meeting work session for Tuesday, February 19th. This is session. Mr. Ashley, would you please establish a quorum?
Okay, Dave Stewart.
Present.
Rick Caudill. Steve Adams.
Here.
Ray Edwards. Rick Therese.
Here.
Randy Hayes.
Here.
Ronnie Melton.
Here.
And Mike Schofield.
Here.
We have established a quorum.
Okay, the explanation of the public hearing procedures, you can either do that or not do it, whichever you decide.
Okay. Well, basically, this evening, of course, is supposed to be really a review. Last week, we really reviewed last year's permits, and the Planning Commission had requested that I put together just a really brief comparison of the two types of zoning. I've tried to put together something pretty brief, pretty short to the point. As you can see at this point, we don't have any public, but if we did, we do have, they would be able to comment this evening. But I didn't know, do you want me to kind of go through these things just really quickly?
On this, on the traditional?
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Oh, okay. Basically, I just tried to, Benita reminded me you need to review the minutes as well.
Oh, that's right. next on there. Has everybody had a chance to review the minutes from two previous meetings, or the January meeting? I assume so. If there's no objections, we'll...
I'll make a motion to accept.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay.
I just tried to put together kind of a comparison. Our current form of zoning via this development guidance code is usually referred to as a performance-based system of zoning. And they really call it a performance-based system of zoning because basically it's scored, essentially. In this, it talks about absolute policies and relative policies. And the relative policies are essentially what's scored by the staff. The absolute policies are policies that absolutely have to be met in order for an application to be approved. Like you guys know, the current regulations basically establish two zoning districts because per the state statutes, it really says that we have to establish zoning districts. And so our current regulations just establish two zoning districts, Western Tannehill County and Eastern Tannehill County. And then each one has its own score sheets, its own absolute and relative policies, basically. Basically, what this Planning Commission sees is two different types of permits, either Division 3 permits, which are basically land use permits. And so anytime you've got a Division 3 permit, it's somebody seeking approval either for a specific use or a specific list of uses or set of uses. Then a special use permit is looked upon as a subset of that Division 3 process. And with a special use permit, the primary difference is a special use permit is just issued specifically to that current property owner, to that individual. And really a special use permit per the current code book isn't supposed to be used to establish compatibility, commercial compatibility. With traditional zoning, instead of having the two main zoning districts, you normally have a series of zoning districts, and normally there'll be a list of uses, and what you customarily see is a certain number of uses, like you may have C2 commercial. So a commercial zoning district, and there'll be a list of uses that you can do by right. And so it may say, well, in this zone you can have restaurants or you can have this use. And it'll have a specific list of uses that you can do within that zoning district. But then there's also normally a list of uses that are allowed conditionally. And what that means is really they would have to seek a conditional use permit, which is essentially just another name for a special use permit. Basically, with this type of zoning, it would kind of be the same type of thing. You would, the Planning Commission would basically hear two types of applications. A Division III permit's normally just referred to as a rezoning, because you're if something was residential and they're wanting to make it commercial, you would just be rezoning it from residential to commercial. Or if it was agricultural and they're wanting to zone it commercial, it would just be a rezoning going from agricultural to commercial. And then a conditional use permit, honestly, is basically just another name for a special use permit. I would say really the primary differences are that every time, probably the biggest difference is the zoning map itself. That basically, and I mean, I was going to bring, I was going to try to pull up Christian counties just to have the ability to zoom into different areas. I'm not as familiar with Greene counties, but this is Greene County zoning map. And just to point out, one of the first big things, even with Greene County, is, and it's a little hard to see, but everything in white on this map is zoned agricultural. And so even with Greene County, the vast majority of the county is zoned agricultural. Basically, kind of like we talked about last time, the first zoning map would have to be based on the existing use of the land. And so if someone had a house, if it was a smaller tract of land, somebody had a house on it, it's probably going to be classified as residential. If it's a larger tract of land and is a farm or just happens to be an 80-acre tract of land with a house on it, it's normally going to be zoned agricultural. But the first zoning map would just be based on the existing use of the land, basically. I feel like, and I've put together kind of a second page, the biggest reason that we're proposing this is really when I was hired, the county commission made it clear to me that I had been hired primarily to rewrite the regulations. They weren't happy with the regulations. Now, a lot of the things that they weren't happy with, we really addressed with these new subdivision regulations. They had a lot of concerns about subdivision of land, and especially subdividing larger parcels of land. But they've also had a lot of concerns about the regulations just in general terms. One of the biggest advantages I've found with traditional zoning, and a lot of times I do best with examples, is with a performance-based system of zoning. If you have a vacant piece of property, the applicant has to seek approval for a specific use with a specific site plan. With traditional zoning, if an applicant wished to seek approval to rezone a vacant piece of property commercial, they would have that ability. Now, it wouldn't guarantee that they'd be approved, but they would have that ability. And what you see in a lot of instances is if development is wishing to move to an area, a lot of times they're looking for land that is already zoned a certain way, that's already zoned commercial or is already zoned industrial. And what I've seen in the past is in some instances when a developer finds out, well, this land's not really already zoned for this specific use, sometimes they're wanting to look somewhere else where they can find land that's
in a hurry.
There's it's really more predictable. There's more certainty with it.
Let me stop there and ask you a question. If we went to the traditional, not sure what we'd have to do to get to the traditional, but if we went to the traditional, would this open up the floodgates for every Tom, Dick, and Harry out there that wants to put their the property on the market to make it look more lucrative, that it could be commercial, it's already approved for commercial? But do you think that would increase our workload with more people just coming in just to do it because they're not going to pay taxes on it, if I understand this correctly? They're not going to pay taxes on it commercial-wise until it's actually used as a commercial entity.
I mean, it really could initially. I was surprised. I didn't, in Christian County, when we made the transition, we didn't really see that to the extent that I expected. I mean, I actually expected some of that, where there would be a little bit of a
surge
of people that were coming in wanting to rezone their property commercial, for example. But we really didn't see that too much, not to the level I expected. But I mean, it is possible. It actually,
you got a lot more big shots down here, though. You know.
Yeah, and it would be possible. The other thing I didn't write much about, and I probably should have, is one of the things I would like to see is still having the ability to also have what's called a planned unit development, and it would really allow for developments that may not fit within any specific district. And honestly, we've probably had a few proposals that have been larger scale that may not have fit within a specific zoning district. They may have uses that don't necessarily fit within one district, or uses that fit within more than one district. And it still allows some additional flexibility, basically. But that's probably the most difficult part of this, really is the mapping portion of it, because you've got to base it on the existing use of the property. Mm-hmm. The approach that I've seen taken is we basically built in, we had a zoning map. We probably made a copy of the zoning map that would fill up the majority of this wall. And we actually had people physically come in for 2 or 3 weeks and just point out their specific property. In most cases, it was folks whose property was zoned agricultural, who had larger parcels of property. And basically, we'd say, well, currently, we would essentially look at you as being agricultural. Under the new zoning map, we would, you know what I mean? The primary difference is it's shown on a map. It's really indicated on a zoning map. What I've seen in most places, and really what I'd like to do, is just to have the zoning map actually be a layer within the county GIS system, where basically any person could just go in here. And Brandy and I were looking at a different piece of property earlier, but where literally you could just go in, click on a specific parcel of land wherever it was, you know, I mean, if it happened to be that one, and I mean, that one's literally just random because, and you could click over here and it would basically indicate what the zoning of that property was too. One of the things we've had them put in fairly recently, just as an example, is the floodplain. So we've actually got a layer now that indicates the floodplain, but you can really do the same thing with zoning even. And then in a lot of instances, like if you have a realtor or an appraiser and they want to know what the zoning on a specific property is, mm-hmm. a lot of times they can actually look that information up themselves even. They can just, this is just directly off of the website. And I didn't think about that. That actually is. I honestly didn't think about that.
You moved to higher ground.
I didn't think about that. Randy and I had been looking at this one.
You
Otherwise, I wouldn't.
You don't have to pull too many places up in the county that I won't recognize anyhow. I don't think.
That's what I was thinking too. I thought. I
definitely recognize that area.
But I mean, the bulk, the vast bulk of the county, honestly, would come up as agricultural, and basically most places don't agricultural uses are normally exempt.
No matter
if you do an overlay map at this point in time, the land use is at time, it's going to be your neighbor. It's going to be a use, and that's where you start.
Exactly.
Now, is this the paper map or is it one that's just on the computer?
It'll be both, but the paper maps. It's going to be easier to update on computer.
He did a lot of things.
Now, what we did, and we'll actually be able to do it a little more easily here, is we would likely send them over to the IS department. There's a GIS person over here in the IS department. And, I mean, she would have the ability to print out a current map and to print it at a larger scale. About all we could probably give them is a 8.5 by 11, that's all we would really have the ability. But we would really have the ability to maintain it both, and probably periodically I'd have a new one printed out too, just to make sure that, just God forbid that we do have some.
Map is like you're showing now, can that be printed off by a fee like the other maps that they have over here? I mean, I've got them in the past on various pieces of property.
Yeah,
can you get it printed off with a floodplain thing on it?
Yeah, you really can. Okay. So, I mean, even at home, you could really print this up, and let me just show you I won't actually print one since I'm not hooked to a printer.
But it
looks kind of like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll. But I mean, you could, if we put the zoning within this. Really, the zoning can just be a layer within this, and that's what makes this a lot easier than. It used to be that you were physically coloring a map. I mean, basically,
Right, that would be quite sure. In the 6 years that you were with Christian County, what period of time did you go to this traditional?
Probably, honestly, from beginning to end, probably a couple years. But we adopted new subdivision regs. We updated the master plan. We rewrote, all the zoning regs. So, I mean, there was a lot to it, and we kind of, I've kind of taken a different approach here, I'll be honest with you. In Christian County, we pretty well adopted everything in one big lump sum, just because there was a real sense of urgency, as you know, at that time.
This is just a personal opinion, but I don't think we'll ever see that again, a rush like that in our lifetime. Because, I mean, people were crazy then. Now, it was absolutely insane.
Yeah.
It really was,
and that's what brought some of the pressure that we see nowadays. Now everybody's wanting business.
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
I think you said again in 2015.
Well, I hope you're wrong. That's all I can say about that. I hope you're wrong.
It's been on about a 5 or 7 year cycle, so.
We've never seen a cycle like that one that we did through the 90s. We've never seen it. I've seen it cycle a lot of times in my ancient history.
82?
Not like that.
82, yeah, wasn't it?
That was just a ripple on the water compared to what happened in the 90s.
Oh, really? 5 was another.
I think you said again.
Well, we're going to see a cycle. I totally agree, Rick, on that.
I think in the next 2 to 3 years you'll see a boom like in the early 80s.
Well, I think you're going to see a growth, but I think it'll be a more gradual growth.
Be more like 82 instead of 95.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a
I've got a question. You go by existing use as far as determining between agriculture, residential. Where do you draw that line as to how the property is being used?
Well, and that one's kind of tough, and that one may be one we have to sit down and talk about as a group, exactly where that cutoff is. Some of the calls are pretty easy. I mean, if it's a 40 or 80 acre piece of property, we're going to really call it agricultural, but I don't know exactly. Different communities have used different cutoffs, to be honest with you. That's probably something we really need to kind of look at when we go through this.
It would be land use again. It would be land use. I mean,
Yeah.
I was able to zone my property. I don't have any animals, but I was able to zone mine here agriculture because we cut hay off of it every year.
Yeah.
Well, if you're not using it for something else, it's automatically agriculture.
Not according to tax people.
He's talking taxes.
Yeah. Oh, on taxes?
According to tax people.
You only had one residence on the place, didn't you?
Yeah.
How much land are you talking about?
23 acres.
I mean, you could have a, what I'm getting at is you could have a 5 acre and it could be used as agriculture and have a house on it. You can split it and almost have two houses on it, couldn't you? Still not fall under.
Yeah.
Well, one of our real stickler points that I saw through the area is when you wanted to, say you had a son or a daughter or a neighbor or whatever. And so say you had 80 acres and you wanted to give them an acre or two and let them live on the property. It come under a subdivision regulation. You correct me if I'm getting off.
No, you're right.
I may get wrong. but anyhow, then you couldn't sell anything else off of that or give something else off of that because you had already divided it once and you had created a problem, is what I call it.
Well, I think
we created a situation there.
I think we already corrected
that. We changed
that.
Yeah.
I mean, we have up to two or three.
Yeah.
I think you can go up to, you split up to three parcels before you fall under that
regulation for family.
No, before, I mean, you couldn't even give off an acre without falling under that guideline, but I think we corrected that.
Well, I think so too.
We changed that.
But that was a real sticky point. I mean, that was something that needed correcting drastically. Right.
And I think we answered that question, but at what point, I mean, there's different types of agriculture. I mean, that covers a broad area, but residential is basically residential.
And I do see where you're coming from, and we'll have to really decide on what those acreages are. One thing I will tell you, I don't want to propose as many classifications. Hindsight's always 20/20. In Christian County, I felt like we proposed too many residential classifications. And we did base it, a lot of it, on the size, where if it was between this size and this size, it was this type of residential. And if it was this size to this size, it was that type of residential. But I do think that it's probably something we'll have to really...
Well, I think anything we do, we ought to use the KISS method.
Keep yeah.
Simple, stupid.
And I don't disagree. I don't disagree.
I've seen us try to correct problems before by passing this little law and that little law, and the first thing you know, we're like our government, and we all know what's going on on a larger scale, and there's so many stuff on there. And when you get stuff on there, that you cannot enforce.
Well,
because there is too much of it.
And I agree with you. And one of the things I really wanted to do, kind of along the lines of what you're talking about, I really wanted to keep the setback requirements the same that we always have. Keep a lot of the basic things the same. And then that way, when the public comes in, they're accustomed to our current setback requirements as far as...
I guess the thing that's revolving around my mind, and I don't know whether it's on our commission, how I would think it would be, what's the cost of this?
Well, really, there's not much of a cost as long as we do this in-house. I mean,
you know, we did this whole thing with Diane May back then.
Yeah.
And they did it with the Missouri State MS students.
Well, you're going to do all this, ain't you, Bob?
Well,
more or less.
Yeah, my plan really is to do for our staff to do most of the writing. I am going to have quite a bit of help with the mapping side of this, but my hope is that our couple of mapping people can help me with the mapping portion of it, because I'm not a GIS
Sounds
expert.
Like
I'm not at all.
But
that's my hope, is that we can basically do this in-house.
But we took bids on that last thing, on what we were going to project on what was going to happen 10, years down the road, and I think the highest bid was close to $1 million, and we wound up spending, what did we spend, Bonita, $400,000?
For the master plan in 99.
Huh?
For the master plan in 99,
$50,000. No, we spent more than that, didn't we?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because, I believe you.
Because we're a member of SMACOM.
That's what I was thinking, that they...
Okay.
Well, and I'll be honest, one of the things that we did, and it may sound silly, but it works really well, is you guys are as familiar with your areas as anybody. And so when we put together our first initial zoning map, we actually had times where we just sat down with our planning commission, with the staff, and just went through and said, is that right? Because literally you can put the picture underneath the zoning layer.
And you know what? That is, to me, a floodplain area. That is a very, very close picture of what is a flood area. I don't have one argument with what they're portraying as a flood area there, because that.
Yeah.
It
but,
is.
Yeah. But I mean, just to.
Just for reference, that parcel you've got highlighted right there, use right now, what would you call that?
What would you call that? Well, there is four different, in the part there where the little cleared area is, there's four different rentals going on right there in that place right now.
No, just the partial. Just take the land right now. What would you zone that? Residential, agricultural? Not commercial.
If it was me, it would be agricultural, because all that bottom you see and that other part is all part of about 1,000-acre range.
Yeah. Well, I know the big part would be agricultural, but I'm talking about just that parcel that's highlighted.
The 30 acres?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
This is one of those that.
I mean, if you drive down there, is it fenced off? Is it being used as agriculture? Is there hay?
Well, there's a garden down there every year. And they did have some chickens running around, but I haven't been up there lately.
Close enough.
But I am kind of like you. I think at a certain point, you have to have something that says. If it's this acreage and smaller, we're going to look at it as a resident.
Well, maybe 1 acre with a house on it should not be agriculture.
Yeah, well, and like some of these are more are a little easier.
Let me ask you a question, right? While we're there.
Okay.
They need more permits if they're going to put more homes down there, right?
Yes.
Okay.
You
answered my question.
Okay. Specifically on that one we were looking at?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you talking to Hemmer Creek?
No. Yeah.
That's far as
I Yeah. That's the reason we had that one pulled up.
So, in this deal that we're talking about, you got something ideal on land? You brought it up.
Well, I mean, you get into acres like that, I mean...
No, I mean, where are you wanting to... Try to shut it off.
That's
5 acres.
That's probably the biggest judgment call.
I don't really know what would be a fair.
Let your sub
acreage size.
We got it shut off in a sub at what, 2.5 acres, 2 acres.
Well, septic is 2.
You can go with what the conservation department says, and in other words, to get any kind of a deer permit or whatever kind of permit like that, you have to have a minimum of 5 acres, I believe.
No. 40 now.
I think you got to add more than that.
Oh, did they make it 40?
40 for deer permits.
No, I
get
one.
I didn't know that.
They changed it last year.
Yeah.
It's 40. Okay. I had to, it's 40.
But
I had to turn in all the places I got leased. I couldn't show them as rented, but I could show them as a lease and I could get more tax.
Yeah.
Like I was talking to Bob, there's some ladies over there by me that are raising miniature horses. They've got 5 acres and got about 8 horses. Mm-hmm. To me, that's farming.
Now let me throw one
I think you'd have to bring it back down there to 5 acres if you're going to.
Yeah. I don't see how you can set a definite acreage.
I don't either.
You can have 5 acres of flat ground that's a whole lot different than 10 acres of.
Yeah.
I'd say that's going to take a little time, because you're going to have to go out there and physically look at or talk to the homeowners, because one good example, what Ronnie was saying, you could have a small acreage, a lot of horses.
Well, I just you know, where I live is
got a 10
house
acre
and 5 acres,
vacant,
and I've got four
like
horses
one of them
on
parcels,
it.
And it's nothing but timber and got a house on it. That's basically residential.
He's well, Christian County is covered up with 5 acre horses.
Yeah, they really are. Well, let me throw this out there too, and if something's zoned agricultural, it still allows residents. So usually. But usually there is some kind of acreage cutoff. Just to, at some point, you know, you've got to have some acreage cutoff to differentiate. Now, when it comes to the other thing that's a little tough sometimes is, I know there'll be instances where there may be a commercial use that may be on a huge piece of property, and we're going to kind of have to decide how to approach some of those too. You know, if it's one little store and it's sitting on 500 acres or something.
Well, I guess that's one of the main reasons is I've always preferred performance zoning because I thought it would address those problems better. Truthfully, I mean, I fully admit there's not a tremendous amount of difference in the two.
There's really not.
It's much to do about very little, probably.
There's not as much of a difference as most people think. And it's what I found.
But I did some of my homework this week.
And what I found in Christian County, the majority of the people that were really concerned were folks that had larger parcels of land that were agricultural. And most of the time when they came in, their honest response was, "What's the big deal then? Why are we doing this? You know, why does it matter? You know, if
I think it all boils down to getting people off their back.
Yeah.
And I can understand that. I mean, you know, if you're an elected official in this county, you have to do what people want, or you ain't gonna be elected official.
Can you zone out to a bigger map? Pretty
yeah.
Much like most of Taney County. I've got another question.
I know there's another way to do this, but
should be just a world button up there, maybe.
Oh, why did it do that? Ah, sorry. Oops. Well, that's not. Usually on mine, it just lets me. There we go.
There you go.
Hell no.
Wow.
I don't know, on my computer it'll let me put the map on the whole screen too, but it's not for whatever reason on this. This computer's a little older too.
That one right there to the left of your all your little signs should where it says map.
Yeah, that's what
all
I thought.
Over here to your right. No, back to your left. Ain't that map world there?
That may be that, far enough.
That's
okay.
Pretty good size there.
You got Branson down here up Merriman Woods, but say somebody had a big parcel of land up here and he zoned agriculture, most of it's agriculture around him. Somebody goes up there and buys 80 acres and he wants to rezone it, that has to come to court.
Oh, exactly.
Right, to change, so somebody can't go in there and put a big development without.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. So,
so
if it's, if
it's
just, exactly
it's changing on the map more or less of what we're doing, right?
That's the biggest
basically,
map. That's the biggest difference is it's really indicated on the map. Once it's zoned commercial, for example. So let's use. I do best with examples a lot of times. So you start out with that parcel of ground. It's agricultural. They come in, they seek approval to rezone it to commercial. Once it's commercial, it's always commercial. And so if it goes from being a restaurant to a clothing store to as long as it fits within that list, they don't keep coming back seeking approval unless it doesn't fall within that list of uses, if that makes sense.
So if it went back to agriculture, then it'd have to come back in front of us?
You don't see it happen very often, but
no.
Not most of the time. I mean, most of the time you don't see them.
It kind of happens.
Well, I mean,
really?
So you.
I'm serious. I'm not.
say somebody buys 40 acres out where most of the majority of the land around there is agricultural, I mean, the board has a chance of looking at compatibility with the with
exactly.
the area to make sure everything fits, because once you zone that residential, say that big parcel, and they build a big subdivision, then...
And you're exactly right, and normally, and that's a good example, if there was an agricultural piece of ground, once they zoned it residential, it usually allows a person to subdivide it into smaller tracts than would be allowed in agricultural, for example. And part of that is it's a way to supposedly help preserve the agricultural area as well by saying if it's ag, it's basically down to this size parcel, but if it's residential, it can be down to 8,000 square feet, for example, you know, if it's on sewer. And that's the other thing is, of course, you still have all those regs that come into play, too. You'll still, my thought was, you know, you'll have the same minimum lot size, 2 acres if it's on septic, 8,000 square feet if it's on sewer. And basically, we've already got the separate subdivision regulations, so those would remain the same. So, but there's a lot to think about. I mean, there really is.
I'll tell you what, in my estimation, one of the most useful tools that we have is the type of zoning. And if we're going to spend time on something, I think we should expand that, and that is your special use, your conditional use permits.
Yeah.
Where we would have more leeway to give those out, and it would be specific to that operation and to the people that's putting that on there, and then it goes away. Now, I'll tell you what, if you stop thinking about it, and you go back and look through the records and all the stuff we've approved over the years, and you see all the little the daycare centers and the whatever and all that, and it just goes away. It's not there anymore, and you don't have to worry about it. If it's a conditional use permit, using the new terminology here.
Yeah.
and I think that is one of, you can put on a special use permit, I think you can put more restrictions on it probably if you see a problem as a group than you can on just traditional type projects that come up like that. You know, they come up here with, per se, a subdivision. Hey, they meet the setbacks. You may not like it at all, and it may not fit at all, but if they meet the code, you don't have any choice. You've got to give them a permit.
And you're really right. When it comes to subdividing, you're exactly
That's
correct.
Right. You,
really,
I've voted for things I didn't like at all, but you don't have a choice because they met all of the regulations. And when you do that, that's why this was put in the first place. If they meet it, then you got to do it. But now you get into special use permits and conditional permits, and it takes care of a lot of the small problems. The big problems are going to be a pain in the neck anyhow, because they're going to have what was that other outfit that brought so many before us with the colored maps beneath them when they were thinking? The engineering group, not Hidehouse, they never had anything worth a nickel, but this guy was good, and he'd bring us and give... How are you supposed to remember that stuff, Ray? But anyhow, you know, they bring that stuff up there and they lay it all out there. And you really, and you know, we vote for this stuff, and if a third of it actually happens, that's a pretty high percentage.
Bill Young,
you're right. Good for you.
What was it?
But he laid out all. Oh, I mean, he laid
young
out. Young Design Group. He came down here to retire. And hit right when everything was going nuts, and he designed more stuff for Taney County than anyone else, probably any other two or three engineering companies. Was he in Fishing County too?
Yeah.
Yeah. But he built pretty sharp.
Oh, yeah.
He's pretty sharp.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he brought all the little trees in and all this good stuff, you know, and I mean, hey, it's a very impressive layout. You get kind
I guess as much as anything, and I'll always be open and honest with this group, I just wanted to see, before I spent a huge amount of staff time, I just wanted to see if the group, as a group, if the group was open to looking at this anyway, or to, I guess, to be honest with you, I don't want to put a whole lot of more time into it. If the group is just adamantly opposed.
The major difference in this whole thing is that you're not going to have a map that if somebody comes in and wants to see, this is all zone commercial, this is not,
exactly.
Blah, blah, blah. That's the main difference there.
That's
because
really
the special use permit basis, the commercial use permit, not a team to be.
Yeah. That was one of the things that I was worried about. I didn't realize that we had a conditional use permit that took the place of respect.
So we need to figure out something on the acreage.
I mean, we really will. We'll have
or
to.
Or should we?
Well, and there'll be a lot of. There'll be a lot of details we'll have to discuss. I mean, as a group.
So
this
would
have to be set up as a public hearing, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, this will have to be a public hearing or a set of public hearings.
Oh,
and,
one of these creates a map and one doesn't.
And
one type creates a map and the other doesn't. Is that?
Well, it gives them.
That's probably the biggest difference is right now, like I said, there's basically, per the statute, we have to have zoning districts.
Right.
And right now we have a western district and an eastern district, which basically matches the county commission districts. The eastern district, the eastern zoning district is the eastern commission district. The western zoning district
really doesn't fit how the land's being used.
I wish at one time I was told when we first started in, that, and that was discussed, splitting the county in half, you know. And that's how laws and things change. You know, one time they told us, oh, you absolutely cannot have different regulations for one part of the county and for the other part of the county.
Well, what?
That's where our lawmakers work.
Yeah. What are you wanting from us, Bob, tonight?
I guess I don't necessarily want anything formal, but.
I mean, do we need to vote on this to make it a hearing, or what do we?
I guess the only thing I would want is just to, if the group is willing to
have a recommendation to proceed.
That's my thought. That was my only thought. And by doing that, you're not approving anything because I haven't really presented anything to you other than a concept. But that was my only hope. I just didn't want to get in a situation where, like I said, again, being really open, I've got to a certain point on a draft, but I know we're going to have to expend quite a bit more time, and I just don't want to. I know this draft will be revised.
You going to spend a lot more time on it before we have a hearing on it, or?
Well, I'd really like to have
it.
Yeah, I feel like I hearing. Exactly. I feel like, and my honest hope was to present it probably one set of hearings with the regulations, one set of hearings just with the map, because believe it or not, it'll be the map that'll get the most attention. Probably imagine. And people will want to see their specific
their
parcel and how this impacts their specific parcel. Now, the way we cut down on that, like I said, is we had an open house, and we had a huge zoning map, and it takes a lot of time, but we physically sat down with people one-on-one and said, here's your parcel, here's what we have it zoned, is that, and most people, we had some people that came in just fuming, and most of the people, by the time they left, they said, well, that's not that big a deal. I mean, literally, was the common reaction.
I've said before, people are afraid of change, and when they understand, they don't always.
And most of them thought it was some means to raise their taxes. Most of them thought that it was that this was going to be have a direct correlation with their taxes, and it doesn't. Their taxes are based solely on the use of the property. If they rezone it, but they don't ever do anything.
I'd say there's probably a lot of farmers, agriculture use, who probably thought it was going to affect them somehow.
They really did, and a lot of people thought we were going to somehow regulate farming. And it's like, no, that's not the...
You got to watch that, because you don't want to forget the farming community in Taney County.
Oh, I agree.
They're not weak.
No, no. Well, and
they're organized. They're together. They're on the same page.
And I don't want to propose any type of animal regulations, or I don't want to go there.
Sounds like if you want to work, you don't want to go there.
No, exactly. I do not want to.
What do you think? I don't know a lot about it, but I think if you've got something that you can show everybody, you know, the map thing is probably a good thing.
I personally would have enough interest in it to recommend to go ahead and continue with what you're doing.
Do you need a vote on it? Then?
As long as it's
let's do something.
We got to give him the okay to do it.
Well, we just give him a recommendation to proceed, I suppose.
Are you making a motion?
I'll second it, Tim.
A motion has been made and seconded that we allow Bob to progress with this more in-depth traditional zoning.
Everybody in favor?
Anybody in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nay. There you go, Bob.
Thank you very much. And I didn't have any other business.
What else we got on here? Code book discussions, did we just do that or not?
And really, that's all I was going to... The part of my reason for bringing this up, too, is if the staff was going to be revising the whole code book, I didn't know that we wanted to spend a whole lot of time looking at individual amendments.
I don't want to revise the whole code book, but I do believe in what I was talking about on the expansion of the special use permit a little bit, because I know just since I've come back on the commission, there's been two or three instances where we couldn't use it, and it would have been the best way to go, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I think if we had a little bit of expansion and stuff on that to where we could use that, I think it's a very useful tool.
And the conditional use permit would give you that, wouldn't it?
It's the same thing, yeah.
Yeah, it really would
but
be very...
But we could expand on it. See, by our code, the way it's written now, it's just written for certain specific... What's the one I'm thinking of? There's one that didn't fit that would have just worked.
I was trying to think which one...
I could look in here. I could find it. It don't matter. But there's an application or two that I asked at the meeting, and it said, well, it wasn't included in the list of stuff. And so we might think about broadening our list or putting something in there that perhaps the commission would have the authority to do that. But I don't know, they probably won't want to give you that much authority on that, because then you get into the buddy system and all that, they think. I mean, I don't think it works that way here in Taney County, but it has in larger cities and stuff like that. But that's the main thing that I would like to see us take a look at.
What types of things do we use as special use? I mean, nightly rentals is one. Was daycare?
Oh, there's a list in your code.
Yeah, there's
25 or 30 different things on there, and it's just one or two that we run into that wasn't on the list.
It's a pretty, like you said, it's not too many things right now. It's nightly rental, alcohol sales by the drink, bed and breakfast. I was trying to think what else. Daycares, I think, isn't it? But like you said, there's just a certain list right now.
And I think we could add a few things perhaps to that list. And it don't have to be done tonight or tomorrow. Or,
home occupations.
I'm just going to look myself. I wasn't going to tell you nothing.
Other.
home occupations, adult entertainment.
No, we don't even go there. Adult entertainment. I've got a code on adult entertainment that suits me fine.
I agree.
If they put one in Taney County, nobody will ever find it. We worked on that for a while.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
Because they brought that up, and I said, well, I've got that simple, just ban it. But you can't. You step on somebody's rights. So we put enough restrictions on that. That'll take care of that problem.
I agree with you. I do. I was just listing off some of the ones they had listed as special use permits.
Have you got that list that has got listed in the code there? Would you mind reading that off, just the list of things?
Okay. Yes, it's adult entertainment businesses. Salvage
yards,
wrecking
yards, bed and
breakfast, home occupations, daycare centers, alcoholic beverage sales, and nightly rental.
Where's that?
You can't sell.
I was thinking there was one more.
Well, you might, is that what you're using all the water for?
He's got a hose running bull.
No, he's using all the water out of the creek, and I can't water my garden in the summer. I know he's doing something with it.
Smoke rising what? Down there with your
Brandy, he's making whiskey or something.
Is he making good whiskey?
Well, he won't let me taste it. I don't know.
Well, that's something that we don't have in water regulations and stuff like that. You take Colorado down that Arkansas River. You know who owns the water rights on the Colorado River in eastern Colorado? The people of Kansas.
The people of Kansas?
Oh, yeah, they have more control.
I've heard that,
the water
too.
Rights out there than anybody in Colorado. You're not even allowed in
Missouri
Colorado
doesn't have water rights.
To put a rain barrel Nobody under the, water under rights the eaves of your roof and retain any
but in
water
some
that
states,
falls on your property if you're in a subdivision.
Well, that messed old Trellis Roberts up.
Somebody else is getting through that one, especially if that's
the state. Only time she washed her head when she got wet from rainwater.
Anybody can drill as big wells they want to drill and pull as much water as they want to.
The rest of the time, it was a bad deal.
All right. We have any other business? I entertain the motion to adjourn.
I'd do that.
Meeting adjourned.
Thank you.